All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to randomly get married at your best friend's wedding? I almost said breast friend. Best friend's wedding.
My best friend's wedding. Did we? We haven't covered my best friend's wedding. Julia Roberts film.
No, the movie. No, we have not.
Let's do it. Let's do it next week. It's a movie. It's a 90s movie. We're doing it next week.
Okay. Also, today we're talking about Felicity, season 4, episode 2, My Best Friend's Wedding.
My best friend's wedding. I can record on Thursday.
We're scheduling live on the podcast now. Isn't there a thing called My Breast Friend or something that's like to help breastfeeding moms
Breast Friend Nursing Pillow.
Yeah, I knew it. Oh, some vlogger I watch uses it.
$64.
That's a lot for a pillow.
Well, that might be the elite one. I'm not quite sure. There's a lot of varying prices. We can get one for $45. It's in Dusty Rose. I love Dusty Rose. That's one of my topped. Oh, no, it has like weird triangles on it. But anyway,
we're here to talk about Felicity today, and there's so much to go through here, Sarah. I'm not even sure which one is the headline. Is it that Felicity and Noel fucked? Is it that the Elena Tracy wedding isn't happening? Is it that Sean and Megan are now married?
Yeah, all of the above. I think that we could justify being the headline, to be honest with you. So it's just like a plethora of mess, which I love. I think like peak Felicity is when all the people of Felicity are just being a bunch of idiot whores, and that's when I'm the happiest. So yeah, I was shocked this episode when we open up, because like I thought we left last episode just with a kiss.
Oh yeah, I thought it was gonna be just make out, maybe some hands stuff, and that was it.
Sure. Yeah, just a kiss in the middle of the moonlight.
Just a casual handy on a roof, you know.
Yeah. We come back, and like our golden rule at Shit 90 Shows taught me has been and always will be the confirmation of sex is putting the clothes back on, like naked when you come from a scene, putting the clothes back on. That is confirmation of sex. So in our rules, Felicity and Noel had sex for the first time, obviously. Shocking. I was like, Felicity, you little whore, what are you doing over here?
Not only did you cheat on Ben, but you cheated on Ben with your ex-boyfriend who's in love with you on the roof of the building they live in. in a public place, no less.
I would say, well, that's kind of so hot, but I just like feel like Felicity, you fucked up. You done fucked up. That is mm-hmm. sin on sin on sin. Now, I would never judge a friend, but she's not my friend. But also, I cannot believe you. Were you thinking?
Oh, it's not even just that. Here's the thing. Like, there's so many layers to this because not only did her and Noel fuck on the roof after her and Ben got into a fight.
Yeah.
But he left a hickey on her.
The size of Kentucky, by the way.
It's huge. And here's the thing. Yeah. We've talked a lot about hickeys, I think. Like, we are on there are so many podcasts where we have had the hickey discussion. If you need a refresher, I am anti-hickey. Sarah is pro-hickey.
These are things we've
established.
Yeah, now, of course. Who's surprised?
The other thing is, though, that these are the big problems. Number one, it is just out of summer, which means it is still warm weather, which means, unlike you, Sarah, Felicity is not going to be rocking a turtleneck. I wore a turtleneck
specifically for this occasion. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is that from basically November to March, I'm like solely in turtlenecks. And Felicity is as well. Felicity rocks a turtleneck.
Sure. However, but girl, it's September. It's not turtleneck season.
There was one scene where they were like walking and she was fully wearing a turtleneck and there was like kids playing.
I saw that in the water. Yes. Yeah.
And you could just see like how off.
How is no one asking her about this? How is no one being like, Felicity, well, girly, why are you wearing a turtleneck?
Everyone's in their own shit. I do feel like Ben kind of was cluing in, like his little gears were turning. Hickey the size of Kentucky, so bad that Richard was the one to point it out. No, it wasn't Richard. Who pointed it out?
No, Richard.
It was Richard.
Richard pointed it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she tried to say it's a rash. Girl, yeah. Mm-hmm. Girl, come now, on. Like, it's very upsetting because also, like, no. If you're going to be the other guy, you know, if you are going to be this guy who's making out and fucking Felicity when she has a boyfriend, you can't be giving her a hickey. Like, but I don't care if the throes of passion. No one was drunk or high or anything.
It's so easy to do with those lips.
It's his teeth.
No. What are you talking about?
It's like sucking on her neck.
Yeah, that's not teeth.
Yeah, but part of it is teeth, I think. Like, I feel like part of it was teeth.
I think that we need to, like, break down. I know that you don't want to give, like, full details about your sexual past. Like, how many hickeys have you given / been received?
Under 10.
Under 10. Okay. And then has any of it happened in the last 5 years?
No, definitely not.
You don't use teeth to give a hickey. It's
no, but you can't. I think it could be both, right? Like, I think, yeah, certainly. Like, you're telling me that people haven't ever gotten like a hickey from a little nibble as well?
Like, yeah, it's not the, it's to create a hickey, the science of the hickey, right?
Oh, well, yeah, the sucking in makes the skin.
That is it. Yeah. It's the same thing as, like, those, like, crazy suction cups that, like, you put the smoke in.
Yeah, so people then, like, do the massages on the back, the cupping.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the sucking that makes
No, I know. But either way, I'm just, I guess I write his lips. But either way, it's, like, an insane decision.
Yeah.
To give her a hickey. And then she's trying to, like, cover it up.
Awesome. Like, no one's, like, some people purposely give hickeys.
Here's the thing. If we are, okay, because we talked about this a lot in season 3 of, like, how malicious / manipulative is Noel being, right? Noel. Like, how many of his decisions have ulterior motives? Did Noel purposely hickey up Felicity to try to get it out there that, like, Felicity cheated on Ben?
No, I don't think it's that. I think that Noel was like, a dog pre-surgery was like, I'm marking my territory is what he was doing. Uh-huh. But I think it was subconscious. I think it was in the a la provolone or whatever the fuck her name is.
In Tony Pavone.
Tony provolone.
Provolone cheese.
It was in the drawer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he probably subconsciously, like, down, he was like, like, this can cause some shit. But also, I think it was in the throes of passion. I think that it was just, like, very, like, he's been waiting, like, 3 years for this. Three score, Jessica, practically. Three score to have his dick inside Felicity Porter. Now, in a world, Felicity could be, Noel could be absolutely done. Like, his goal the whole time could have just been having sex. How crazy would that be if he's like, I was just going for the chase, and now the chase is over, and I'm done. How crazy. That would never happen, but how crazy.
It would never happen. Yeah, that's not Noel's MO. And to give him the tiniest ounce of credit, like, he does take the lead from Felicity in terms of how she wants to handle all of this, which is like, we can't talk about this. You have to wait 5 minutes. I'm going to go downstairs, wait 5 minutes, and then come down.
Yeah, that,
like,
was pretty crazy for
we have to,
like, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have to get their stories straight. It's like a whole thing. And of course, when she goes back downstairs, Ben is returning from having played basketball. He's cleared his head a little bit. He's got a little bit of his machismo testosterone energy out.
I can't believe it. You just waited in my room.
But here's the thing about Ben. As much as Ben is an idiot, he wasn't born yesterday. And so it's obvious to him that, like, something is up. I don't think he can quite put his finger on it.
Yeah, he is very suspicious of Felicity that moment. I don't think that he's necessarily, like props to Ben, because, like, he really was searching and racking his brain what the issue is. And I ultimately really do like what he comes up with at the end of the episode, or towards the end of the episode, when they're having dinner right before Felicity breaks up. And he's like, you know what? Like, I thought a lot about this. And I think the issue is that we, like, switch places, which is what you and I have been saying for a little bit. He has drive and a motivation and a goal now, and she does not. Like, I do think that is part of the underlying issue of how Felicity ended up where she ended up by cheating on Ben with Noel. I don't think that's the whole story. I think that Tony is right. Like, I think a part of it is that she actually really does have feelings for Noel, and there was, like, you know, open-ended stuff going on there. I think she wants both. So, like, so many props to Ben for, like, sitting there and really thinking about it and coming up with that answer, because I think that it is at least partially true, not the whole truth, but at least partially true.
I do think, if not for, I don't think Felicity immediately jumps into bed with Noel, if not for the fact that Ben seems like he finally has a handle on what he wants to do with his life, and she doesn't. And so she is feeling particularly lost. And so is Noel. And so they can connect on that. And I think it is kind of hilarious that the excuse that Ben gives when he wants to go off and, you know, fuck Avery or make out with Avery or whatever is the same excuse Felicity uses here. The I'm just confused. I'm confused, right? It is such an easy go-to. And it's almost like when Felicity overhears that voicemail from that Janet girl that he met at, like, EMT school, I could feel, because, like, Felicity is a little annoyed about it. She's, like, preoccupied by it, but then she feels guilty that she even feels that way, because she's like, I have no right to feel this way. But I do think there's a part of her that's like, but if he cheated, then that's great, because then we both cheated, and so then we're both guilty.
Yeah. Or for me, it was like, yeah, we're both guilty. So it could go two ways. We're both guilty, so it cancels each other out. Then I don't have to tell him the truth. Or is it like, does she use that if he does cheat, which he, once again, so emotionally intelligent this episode from Ben, being like, I did tell you about Janet, like, and recited the whole story and can see Felicity, like, remembering that, like, these are all facts. But, like, was she hoping for an out at that moment? Like, was she hoping, Felicity hoping for an out of the relationship? I can direct the blame back onto you, Ben. You are the one that messed it up again. You broke my trust, Ben. And just, like, deflect it. And I was curious if that's what she was looking for, or if she was trying to find, like, two wrongs make a right, you know, like it cancels each other out.
Yeah.
Like how I'm curious, like what her motivation was with hearing that news. Cause like she was obviously, and let's be like, this was during the summer. Like, I think that there's like a whole mess of things. I was watching back the beginning of the episode one, like in the montage, and like Felicity and Noel were like basically like naked food fighting all summer. Like, that's fucked up. Like, it might not be physical cheating. It certainly was like edging on emotional cheating. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, like, I feel like this has been going on for a good amount of time, truly. So I don't know. Like, I feel as though I'm like, I think like the fact of the matter is that like Felicity really does not know who she really wants. And I think she's in love with both men. A classic bachelorette situation.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is she knows she loves Ben and she wants to be with Ben. I think it's tough for her right now because Ben finally knows what he wants to do and he has the drive to do it, right? He's trying to do it. And she's being held, she's held back by like not knowing where she wants to go, not getting into this art program she applied for, whatever, this art class. And Noel is right there with her. He's also floundering and they've just spent all summer kind of reconnecting. And I think she feels very disconnected from Ben because he has a lot more going on outside of the relationship with her. And she doesn't necessarily have that same thing. So it's really fascinating. I think you and I could always see like Felicity and Noel have more like, it's more than just a friendship chemistry there. And I think Felicity has been like shoving it aside, shoving it aside, shoving it aside for so long. Mm-hmm. And she finally, so she's having all these conversations this whole episode long with Tony Pavone about it, about like this little box, about what she's setting off in the side and who's in the drawer, right? And it's Noel. And she does admit like at the, right before the wedding, that she doesn't want to forget about what happened with Noel. Like, and I feel like that's very much an admission of, I'm very torn between these two men in front of me. Yeah, it's so interesting. I find it so interesting, Sarah, that now two out of the three times, has she only slept with three people? I'm trying to remember. We have Archie, Eli,
Ben,
and Noel. Did she sleep with David or any of those other guys?
I thought that she did.
Okay, maybe. I think it's interesting that the like art guy Eli and Noel were both like throes of passion, like not like planned, but you know what I mean? Like she wasn't like in a relationship when it happened. Like it was very much like a reactionary fucking. which I just find very interesting for Felicity as a character, because she generally seems to me like someone who is very, she thinks things through, you know, yeah. She like really thinks things, excuse me, through before she takes action. But maybe in her romantic life, she doesn't. Like maybe she's like an impulse romanticizer.
Yeah. It's like, I was also thinking like, okay, so I really do think that, I mean, like, we talk a lot about how, like, Tony Pavone is, like, not a great therapist, but I really listening to her in the, and I often, you know, I experience this in therapy as well, where it's just like, well, there's, like, the thing that I'm upset about or the thing that's bothering me, but, like, what is it really? Like, what is the root of it? Like, what's the like initial trigger that is bothering me? And then we had to like dig deep, and typically it's like familial mother mommy issue shit. So it's like essentially it's like the drawer stuff, and I was trying to like figure out like what's in the drawer, what's in Felicity's drawer, because I think that that's like an interesting concept of like what's really in the root of like what's bothering you. And I was trying to think like, when we were talking about this, I like literally my first instinct was like, no, like it's no, like, and that's ultimately what Felicity said it was, but like, what else in Felicity's life, even before Noel, led her to be a person that, like, maybe it has to do with, and typically, I don't know, like, it's so annoying in therapy because it always does boil down to family, because that's like your initial, like, tribe in life. And it's like, what was going on in Felicity? Was it the fact that, like, she felt so controlled in her life because, like, her entire life was planned out for her from her parents? So she is, like, actively sabotaging every single step, or like every single, like, plan that has been made, because she can't be tied down. Like, she can't have, like, this, like, she can't stick with, like, a commitment or a plan, because her life has always been planned, and she really loves, like, the freedom of either not being tied down by a relationship or by a career or by, and it, like, things that other people expect of her. And I think that that's probably where I'm landing. Like, I think, like, it's Noel, but also, like, why is she?
I'm vibing with what you're saying. Yeah. And to add on to it, I think it's interesting, the timing of all of this, of all summer long, Felicity's dad has been sending her these, like, news article clippings of, like, people her age going on to successful careers as doctors and all this other shit, right? And she has Noel in her ear being like, fuck that guy. Like, he, you know, he's doing this to be rude. Like, just ignore him. You don't have to worry about that. Meanwhile, Ben comes back from EMT school and says, I want to be a doctor. Like, right. I feel like
that is major ick vibes, because
subconsciously, right? Like, she's like, Ben equals my dad currently. Right. And, like, I'm butting heads with my dad. So if Ben equals my dad, then I'm going to go for the exact opposite in that. I'm going to go for someone who doesn't have his life planned out, who she feels like understands her and is in the same spot as her emotionally and in her life
as
and everything.
As, like, same, like, realm, like, you know, like,
art sort of creative endeavors.
Yeah, like, graphic design is not too far off to art. It's like in the arts.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I definitely think, and, like, also Ben represents, like, her, literally her old life. Like, Ben
Palo Alto, yes.
Yeah, like, from high school, like, her old crush. Like, she literally, like, if she goes with Ben, then that in her mind maybe means, like, I have not evolved at all in the 4 years I spent in New York City.
Yeah.
Like, I think that. And it's, like, crazy, right? Because Ben has evolved in the last 4 years. He is, like, he has, like, really grown. And he used to work, I'm not good enough for Felicity. Like, I don't have a plan like Felicity would want. And now, like, he's gotten his shit together. But then now for Felicity, that's not even, like, the reason why she liked Ben. Like, she liked that Ben was, like, kind of floaty and, like, you know, so it's kind of like, oh, like, now that you got your shit together, you're not as, like, hot to me because I don't have my shit together, and now I feel bad about myself. But also, like, that's not what I fell in love with. Like,
well, he's a reminder that she doesn't have her shit together. Yeah, and he's a reminder of her feelings with her dad, like,
and, like, her younger life and her
and home. Like, yeah,
like, he in this flavor of life, like, Ben is just, like, a huge ick to her. Like, she's like, I don't want that. I mean, like, but she does, because, like, she's like, Ben's, like, good-ish to me. Ben's good to me. Or, like, I've always wanted Ben.
Sure.
It's kind of like those things where it's just like, well, you know, you finally get what you want, but then by the time you want it or you get it, is it what you want anymore?
Yeah. It's so messy. And, like, I am enjoying it in terms of, I think we can kind of see Ben putting the pieces together, right? Like, I do think he'll get there. It doesn't happen this episode. And, like, I found it fascinating because to reset from where we left things in, like, season 3, Ben was like, Noel is trying to break us up. He's in love with you, right? Like, he had big, big issues with Noel. Seemingly didn't really bother him that Noel and Felicity were spending all summer together. And on top of that, they still live together, Ben and Noel. Like, this is all very fascinating. And Ben goes to Noel this episode to be like, hey, what's up with Felicity? Like, what's going on with her? Something is weird. Something is off. I thought that was so interesting. And this has happened more than just this one time, Sarah, where like Ben has gone to Noel knowing that Noel and Felicity are close to be like, hey, I need advice, or like, what's up with her? I know you guys are tight. I just think this is so interesting given that, you know, there's so much history and baggage between them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think it's like, I really think that Ben is just trying to get like insight, but also it's like, dude, it's like the issue is, it's like, you don't know what's wrong with your girlfriend, but you go to like another guy that is like an ex of your girlfriend and asking him what's up with your girlfriend. Like, ooh, we got issues here. And like, obviously, yes, he knows. Like, I do think that he was putting it together at the end scene, the very last scene.
I agree.
He was just like standing, like bopping after the wedding, and Ben comes and giving the death eyes, like literally just like staring at her. Like, I think that he was like putting it together.
It's like that math gif of like he's connecting all the dots in his brain. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. But I think that it's already an issue if you are asking. I don't know, but maybe not. Like, maybe this is just like my bias. Like, I guess going to a friend of your girlfriend is not a terrible idea to be like, what's up with your with Felicity. I guess like the issue is like, he did try. He was like, hey, what's going on? Like, he tried to talk to her. She wouldn't talk to him about it. So then like he goes elsewhere. But like, I just think that it should be pretty obvious that there is like a huge issue.
I think it's going to come out very soon. Like, I don't think we can go more than like two episodes without the beans being spilled at this point.
I agree.
Yeah. It's all very fascinating. And then to add into before we move on to other storylines, Richard also is like, Richard, I think, knows. A key player in this, because he starts talking to Noel and it's very obvious that Noel is like, something's going on with Noel. So he guesses correctly. Oh, there's a girl. Noel lies and said there's this girl named Sandy at John's Pizza.
I so for a millisecond was like, yeah, like there's this girl, Sandy. I met her at the beach, but she's from Australia. Like, I thought that that's where we were going. And then like in my head, I kept like hearing like Sandy.
Yeah. Somewhere. Like, he thought he was pulling from Greece.
Yeah, that would have been so funny, but that's not what he did.
The problem is that he chose a real place. Like, he chose a real John's Pizza exists. And so when Richard goes to fact check this, or like, I guess check her out, who knows? He's a weirdo. He's obsessed with Noel. We know this.
he I think that he was like scoping the girl.
Yeah, but there is no Sandy that works at John's Pizza. And then when he sees Felicity's hickey, he's like, she's Sandy. And I mean, Noel and Felicity are pretty fucking shitty liars. So it's really deduce that it's the two of them. So the question is, how is this going to get revealed? We know it's going to get revealed. How does it get revealed? Is it a slip up from Noel, a slip up from Felicity, or a slip up from Richard?
Probably Richard, because like, why else thematically, storyline wise, like why else would Richard be in the know besides the comedic aspect of it, which is a valid reason. I think like that's my initial guess.
I think I'm going to guess that like Ben is going to walk into a room where like Felicity and Noel are whispering about what happened or something. I think Richard finds out because it's like a comedic bit of him. And also because they're like, oh, we need to give him something to do. Let's have him be the one who discovers it, you know?
Sure. Because if it wasn't him, it would be like Megan or something.
But what I really want to have happen is I want this to be, what if Javier finds out?
Oh,
that.
But yeah, because, you know, he would have an issue Benjamin from his Benjimon. So he
loves Benjimon. Yeah. That could be fun. Either way, I hope that the way in which it all comes out is dramatic and in a very public place with a lot of people. That's all I want.
As it should be, as all big reveals should be.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, it's old as time. Yeah. Absolutely big-ass disaster. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Anything else on this storyline before we move on to some of the other stuff happening?
It's just like the breakup, right? Like, I once again, like, they have this dinner, and, like, it's after Felicity talks to her therapist a few times, which is great. I thought it was interesting how she kind of like recited Tony's advice back to her. And Tony was like, yeah, this does not apply to the situation at all. So, and throughout the episode, like, my thought was Felicity just needs to break up with Ben. Like, figure out your shit outside, please, of this, of your relationship with Ben. It's like only fair. So I feel like the breakup, I mean, it's in a public place, is at a dinner. She takes the lead, and I forget, like, what does she say? Like, she say to him first. She's like, I need to talk first. But then I don't even think that she said anything important.
I mean, honestly, the gist of what I caught was like the, I'm confused, right? Like, that stood out to me because
a bunch of bullshit and nothing.
Well, it was the same thing he said.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just, yeah. And then, I don't know, she says, I guess I'm just kind of confused right now. He says, I'll do anything. And she says, you can't. I mean, I think that maybe we just need to spend some time apart. She says she needs time alone.
But before that, I thought she said something. And then he was like, hey, like, I think I know what's going on. I think it's like, I have this motivation and you do not.
Oh, yeah. Well, because so she brings up the whole Janet thing. Right. And he says,
right.
Yeah. He says, like, it was nothing. It was really nothing. Like, in fact, I told you about it. And then he says things have been and he knows he's like, this isn't about Janet. It's been weird before you heard that message.
Once again, like a really good call from Ben. Mm-hmm. Like, not to spoil our point system, but like I'm like pretty much solid on giving it to Ben.
Well, because he's very astute in his assessments. Like he says, I know what's going on. We've switched places because now you're confused about what you were doing. And I know what I want to do. I have direction. Mm-hmm. And he says, I have to say, I understand how it must make you feel. You must feel alone. And that's what's making you withdraw from me.
Yeah. I think like that is incredibly emotional maturity. And even if it's like not 100% the right take, at least he was able to like once again, this is like a 20 year old man saying this shit. Like, bravo. Like, even if it's not 100% accurate, like the fact that you are sitting here like really trying to be empathetic and like read into like what your girlfriend is feeling, mm-hmm. I mean, it's incredible, especially because of like, you know, it's Ben, like it's just dude bro Ben has like his like answer is basketball. Like,
exactly. And like he really,
and also it's like, you know, we make fun of him like, oh, I'm going to go play basketball, but he really does think while he plays basketball. He's not.
I mean, exercise I think for a lot of people, it's a good outlet to like spend time and like actually think through things. Yeah. And yeah, I do want to give him the credit of he's not putting all of it on Felicity. Like, he's not just going into this conversation blind and being like, you need to tell me what's wrong with you. Like, what's going on? He has taken the time to think about what could be going on with Felicity and why maybe she's feeling this way, which I do think is like growth for him. Yeah. Like, he's really considering how she must feel knowing that, yes, like I have drive and I have an idea of what I want to do. And he does apologize for him being a dick earlier, right? He's like, I'm sorry about the printer, blah, 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 blah. Like, it was like a shitty thing to do. He does apologize, which is nice. We've all had those moments where we've like been assholes for no reason because we're stressed.
Yeah, but also, like, as of last week, and I still kind of agree that, like, he, like, I don't know, Felicity, he was, like, clearly stressed out, and Felicity was just, like, making it about herself in that moment, and it's, like, I don't know, I felt, I didn't, like, really, I'm glad that he apologized, I thought that was, like, a nice thing to do, but also, I mean, did she apologize for being, like, dismissive of his feelings? I don't know. But yeah, so I guess like he was completely blindsided. She gets up and leaves, which I also, I don't know, like, does this actually happen in real life where you break up with somebody and not have like a 4-hour conversation about everything? Like,
that's really interesting. Yeah.
What reality do people break up and then get up and leave? And that's the end of the conversation.
I suppose,
like, can you imagine?
I feel like the more crazy thing for me, at least, is doing it in a public place. Like, when I've broken up with people, it's never been like in a public setting. Yeah. And the one time, yeah, I did just like get up and leave after, because like, what else am I doing? Like, I'm not just going to be sitting there like awkwardly forever, you know?
You have to talk it to death until
I did, and then I got up and left.
And then you just gotta, so you spend 4 hours talking about it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, basically, nightmare. I guess it's like based like less serious relationships, but they were pretty serious.
Oh, they were serious. I mean, they dated for a long time.
Yeah, she just gets up and leaves and goes, I'm gonna leave. And then once again, like, I've never been in this situation, but if you're the other person that gets left at the restaurant after you're broken up with and you have to like foot the bill,
That's fucked.
A bad situation, right?
Like, bad form. If you're the breakupper, like, you have to pay.
I agree with that.
Unless the person like did something really heinous and that's the reason you're breaking up with them.
Exactly. So then he's just like left there. And then what does he do? He's like, okay,
for dinner.
I guess. I guess you leave yourself afterwards. I don't know. Like, I've just never been in a situation like this. Like, I guess you're right. Like, you wouldn't like get up and leave together. That would be awkward.
No, that's really weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So and I do like that, like, Ben came back to the apartment and he didn't, like, he was just like a little sad boy. He like gets his beers, he offers it to Richard and to Noel. I think it was like pretty psychotic that Noel was like, yeah, bro, I'm gonna have a beer with you.
Fuck you, Noel. You fuck his girlfriend and then take his beer? Get the fuck out of here, you dick.
I mean, I guess he was like, I don't know what else to say, because if not, then
I don't
like,
know, make up some excuse, because that is bad form.
It's like, it's basically, I am going to toast to your demise.
Exactly. Let me cheers to your and Felicity breaking up, so, because I fucked her.
It was pretty crazy, but that's the Felicity, Noel, and Ben. Storyline. Yeah. And that's that. So that was like one part of Crazy Town.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
On the other side of town, we have Elena and Tracy, who are getting married, like, literally that day. And ultimately, like, we knew that this relationship wasn't going to, like, see into fruition.
Yeah.
But I don't even understand how we got there, because I had no idea that Elena wasn't in love with Tracy. Like, how did you get here? Like,
That's what I was thinking.
Why? Like, why get back together with Tracy if you didn't love him? Like, how are you engaged with him if you didn't love him? How are you literally at the altar and you didn't love him? And I just thought that was absolutely insane. Like, you know, basically her wheel starts spinning. I don't think that she's had much time to think about it, because she's been like alpha planning this wedding.
Once she, like, yeah, once she says yes, it's just plan. There's no time to think.
And then Megan like says something like, she makes like an off-color joke that I think that like mostly like I think that like even I could make that joke, but like
you're just getting married to fuck is basically what she like, says.
It's like she's it was a joke. Like it really was. I don't think that Megan fully believed that because I think that she was under the assumption that I was under that they were in love, like they love each other. Mm-hmm. But Megan says that, and that really like kicks Elena in the teeth and is like, is that true? And
crazy that they got that far.
And honestly, even more so that like literally it was the day of the wedding, not even like the day before, but the day of the wedding. They are both in their wedding attire. Everybody is at the wedding. Tracy is the one that doesn't show up because she brought it up to him that like, are you just like marrying me because then we can have sex? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I like love you. Of course I do. And I do believe that. I think unless it really is about sex, I don't know. But then like he turns it on to her and is like, well, are you just marrying me because you want to have sex? And she can't fully say that that's not the reason, which is just like, and of course Tracy's like, okay, then I'm not, if you don't love me, I'm not gonna marry you, like, you know, that's not
yeah.
But like, does she really not love him? Because like I didn't realize that was the case.
It's so weird, I guess, like, to think this through, right? We leave last season with him proposing. They're not even dating when that happens.
Then, which actually, I've heard that story so many times.
Wait, of people getting engaged when they're not even like, after dating?
They have, yeah, like basically the way that they get back together, or like it, they're broken up, they're dating, they break up, and then the way they get back together is with a proposal. I've heard
and
that
these story. These are people that are still together. Like, this is successful.
I think so.
Cause that's crazy town.
I've heard it more than twice.
That's wild. That is absolutely wild. But yeah. So then they presumably, if they're getting married in September, they've spent the bulk of the summer planning this wedding. So like, they haven't had any time to actually just exist as a couple down.
Yeah,
as, you know, like
an engaged couple,
or exactly, like, as, like, and enjoy it couple.
I think like the number one thing about I mean, like, it's twofold. Like, I think like the issue with getting engaged after a breakup is that like it really depends on like how much have you like cured the relationship.
Did you fix whatever was the cause of the breakup originally?
Yeah. Yeah. And they like really were full force into planning. And I do agree that like a part of this motivation is the sex piece. But
that's their problem, right? That's their problem, is that they want to have sex.
Yeah. But I mean, like, do you think that was not Tracy's reason to want to get engaged? He just thought that it would help, right? I don't know because I feel as though, because he's like, no, that's not why I love you, and she can't say it back, which honestly, like, I don't know.
Again, how are you saying yes to an engagement if you don't love the person? That is insane. Like, if all of the end goal is just to have sex, like, there's so many people you could have sex with that you don't need to marry beforehand.
I guess she just got like swept up into everything, and then it became like the fantasy. I think that for so many girls and women out there, it's really like ingrained in you from like the earliest like age ever, as like a kid of the 90s, where like prime Disney film type of thing, you see it in media all the time, like, oh, you know, you fall in love, like the man like saves you, and then like you get married at the end, and then you live happily ever after. And I think that like for so many people, myself included, that becomes like a huge goal. Like, I think that To get married. Like, that is like the most important thing that you could possibly do as a woman. And I wish that like wasn't the case, or at least I wish that, I think it's a great thing to want to get married, but I also think that it's a great thing to have other goals. But I think like she kind of just got like swept up into the fantasy, and like, you know, it's like really sad. Like, she maybe wants to start her own family sooner than later because like her family is kind of like broken. Like, I think that she just got swept up into the fantasy. Like, I think that she had her wedding binder a la Monica all set up, and it's like hard to let go of that dream. And yeah. Like, also it's like, you feel like you get like so far to like that big check mark in life. And to let
well,
it go.
Well, it's the sunk cost fallacy too at a certain point. Like, even if they're like, if they're not quite done planning the wedding, but they've put in so much time and effort into planning it. She has the dress that looks like her mom's dress. Like, there's a lot of emotion wrapped up in it, I think. Yeah. And I think it's even harder then to back out of it. Yeah. And it does seem like, okay, so then the officiant, this is where things get nuts in my opinion. Like, okay, so then the officiant that they want can't do the wedding.
He's overbooked.
Which again, like, okay, if Tracy's religion is so important to him, I find it a little strange that we're like super okay with then, okay, now Felicity is going to be the officiant. Like, mostly because Tracy's family, like, no one has an opinion on this. Like, I'm shocked that it's not a bigger deal that like the person isn't a minister or whatever.
Were they in a church?
Honestly, I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, like, it looked a little pewy, but so maybe. But yeah, like, that's the whole wedding thing actually is like so strange too, because like, yeah, like it starts to be like a little, I mean, there was like some bad omens, like, you know, Sean ate the cake and the minister backed out.
Yeah.
And then like they asked Felicity, because like, I don't know, like everybody has to ask Felicity about everything all the time for favors, which is like pretty crazy.
Well, they're like, well, you're the most romantic person we know. We want you to officiate. I understand Felicity being the choice because she loves romance, and also she's like been Elena's best friend, and like she's known their relationship. Like, I do love a wedding where the officiant knows the couple well. Yeah. I always love that.
Who was your officiant? I forget.
We hired an officiant. We didn't have someone we like do it.
And there was no like religious aspect to your
sin. No, our officiant was, it was like a two for, not a two for one, but like he was our officiant and our DJ. Like he did both. Yeah. Listen, okay. Two for one deal.
Okay, I can't. I'm sorry. That's hilarious.
It sounds ridiculous when you say it, but it made a ton of sense at the time. It still does. I think you did a great job.
It just sounds like I love you and I support you. Like, and I watched the ceremony, so it's not like it just sounds.
It sounds crazy.
Redneck.
Yeah. To be like, yes, yeah. He was our florist and our DJ and our officiant. Yeah, oh, and yeah, he also brought the cookies. Yeah.
It sounds like a plot to like a 90s like show. Like,
yeah,
it sounds hilarious. But no, I hired our officiant as well, like some rando. So
exactly, it's nice. The idea is nice to have someone you know be the officiant, but also like without a ton of heads up, like it's a lot. She has to become ordained. Yeah. She has to like write everything, I assume. She has to like talk to Tracy's aunt and uncle or something, and like who the hell knows why they're involved.
Well, because they've been married for I think 50 years and they know a whole lot about love.
Sure.
Like, I would want to like interview them as well. So she goes through the process, and she goes there with her ugly outfit. And the marriage setup itself is very interesting because we have like a couple of people that I've never seen before in my life as Elena's bridesmaids. And then like, I guess his family and her family. And like, the thing is that like Elena, like they're waiting for Tracy. Tracy's nowhere to be found. Elena goes and finds Tracy. they have this discussion, and then Elena's the one that has to go back in and make the announcement. Like, where is Tracy in all of this? Like, why doesn't he, like, either go in with her, or why isn't he making the announcement? And then, like, his family stays around for the somebody's family stays for the wedding.
It's unhinged,
which was like kind of crazy.
The audacity, because we need to talk about the Sean and Megan of it all, right? Like, we start off the episode with like Sean, Megan, they're still having this whole fight about Tracy being Megan's hall pass.
Yeah.
And Megan's like, I bet I can get Tracy. Are you saying I can't get Tracy? I bet I can get him to kiss me. And he's like, the fuck are you talking about, you lunatic? Like, we're not having a bet for you to break up a marriage. And she's like, oh, it will break up a marriage, blah, 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 blah. So they're like, okay, the winner gets to be the other person's servant for a day. Whatever. Or have the other person be their servant for a day. Megan's tactic is to be like, Tracy, here is this thing called lip venom. And it really,
oh my God. Yes, yes, go on.
Makes your lips irresistible. Mm-hmm. And then she just goes in for the kiss.
Okay. Now, yes. Okay. I'm so excited because, okay, I'm going to compartmentalize.
Calm yourself, Sarah. It's very exciting, I know. Okay.
I'm sorry. The fact that they literally brought up lip venom sends me. Because do you know what this is? Do you remember?
There was like something in the back, like filing cabinet in my brain where I was like, I've definitely heard of lip venom.
I was obsessed with lip venom when I was
like a Sephora thing, right? Yes, like, yeah.
Basically, there's a lot of this stuff nowadays, but it
like
is
plumping. It's to plump, it's right? It's
like a plumping thing. The smell is so distinct. The feeling is so distinct. And yeah, like I would fully, probably from like middle school on, like middle school, high school, I would like go to Sephora, get lip venom, like, and just the fact that, and it feels horrible. Like, I think it's made out of like bee sting venom or something crazy. Like you put it on and the sting is so distinct and it like plumps and reddens your lips. So like when they were talking about lip venom, I got sent to a different dimension because I've talked about it like kind of recently. I would buy this shit like just to
see, but now you don't even need to because they make lip glosses that have like plumping stuff in them and it like tingles like a minty tingle, not like, you know, bee stings.
It hurt so bad. I don't even think it's made out of the same ingredients as
definitely not like, yeah,
you can buy it on Amazon for $16.99, but
this is like her plan and Tracy's like, the fuck are you doing, you psycho? So like he leaves, obviously he tells Elena comes over, she's pissed off because I don't know, you tried to kiss her fiance Megan, and Megan's like, poof, you're overreacting, girl. You are supposed to be Elena's friend, you psychopath. And so then she, like you said earlier, comes out with the thing to Elena of like, oh, well, you just want to marry Tracy to fuck. And so then Elena uninvites her from the wedding, rightfully so.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think this next conversation with like Sean and Megan was so interesting because she was like, you literally like do not care about other people.
Well, no, what he said was, and I thought this was fascinating. This was like a very interesting read on Megan, where Sean says, you test people, you put them to a test, and if they don't pass, you push them away and you push them. And I'm assuming it's like it pushes them away before they can hurt her sort of thing. And so she was like testing Elena, testing Tracy, like wanting to shove people away. And Megan actually takes this to heart. Like she really does listen.
She often does. Like when she gets called out and it actually resonates with her, like I have seen before that she like takes it to heart and then like adjusts her behavior because she does show up to the wedding and she does apologize to Elena. Like you know, not the greatest apology, but not terrible for Megan.
No, she does apologize. And, you know, she says that she was wrong. And Elena is very quick to forgive. I was honestly a little astonished.
It's her wedding day. It's like,
if you tried to kiss my fiance and then like the next day showed up in like your bridesmaid's dress and were like, so sorry. After you not only insulted the bridesmaid's dress, but accused me of only wanting to get married to fuck the guy. Like there's a lot here. But then the crazy thing is that's not the craziest thing Megan does this episode. Like you'd think trying to kiss someone else's fiance, one of your best friend's fiancés, mm-hmm. be enough. No, instead, after Elena and Tracy are like, wedding's off, we're not doing it, Megan goes up to Sean and is like, we should get married right here, right now,
right? Because some like offhanded comment that Elena made, which like she's like
of like, oh, Sean and Megan are great for each other and they'll like, be together,
blah, blah, blah. The ones to get married. So I don't know, like it was crazy. So then they were like, you know what, there is now an opening at this wedding venue
and might as well use it up, I guess.
And they get
recycling
married, which I don't know, I really
unhinged. Like, Sarah, this is like, okay, what's the meme? Like, tired proposing to someone at someone else's wedding, wired marrying someone at someone else's wedding.
I don't know. I just thought that this was crazy. But, like, actually, I didn't really think it was that crazy. I thought it was crazy that either Elena or Tracy's family stays for not only the ceremony, but also the reception. And unhinged. I want to know who paid for this. Like,
if I'm Elena's dad, I'm sending Sean and Megan a bill in the mail.
Invoice. Now, this is what is bill? This is the thing. Like, I guess at this point they lose the wedding, the money. Like, okay, so like
certainly
they book the venue, they would lose the money, right? Like they would lose money because they literally canceled the day of. So I guess you might as well use the facilities and
but then who's paying for this? Like if Elena's dad is paying for all the food and everything for Megan and Sean's wedding, this is insane. Like, yes, I did in my preseason predictions have that I thought Sean and Megan would get married in Vegas. Like, I thought it would be spur of the moment. I didn't think they were going to, like, co-opt someone else's wedding.
Yeah, I guess, like, that's just what I want to know. Did Sean and Megan reimburse Tracy and Elena's
Because Megan's family isn't even there, right? Like, and here's the other thing, Sarah. We talked about the importance of religion in Tracy's family. But what about Sean, who's like suddenly, you know, more recently, he's really gotten into his own faith? Like nothing about this wedding had any of like his Jewish like beliefs in there either.
Yeah, but, you know, but OK, this is the reality of it. They're not married. They might be married.
They don't have a wedding license.
They don't have a wedding like a marriage certificate.
In the eyes of the state of New York, they are not married.
They're not married. Now, I wonder if they're even going to address that because
this feels kind of like a Grey's Anatomy Post-it wedding situation. Do you know about the Post-it?
I know about the Sex and the City Post-it, but I don't know.
This is the opposite kind of Post-it. This is a love Post-it.
I have not heard of the love Post-it.
Basically, Derek and Meredith, they're two busy, busy, busy surgeons. They don't have time to go to a real wedding. So they end up forfeiting their wedding to give it to someone who's dying. And instead, they are in an elevator, which, you know, everyone fucks in Grey's Anatomy. And they write their vows on a teeny tiny Post-it and they say they're married. And that's that.
Okay.
So basically they have a Post-it wedding now.
Okay. All right.
I think they'll be together. I think they're end game. Like, I don't think they're breaking up, but I also just feel like this is an absolutely insane thing to do.
I guess like I mean, they can have a actual wedding with their families. Eventually, I guess. Yeah, I guess I just was curious about like the logistics of it, which is not maybe the most interesting part about it, but I guess it is to me. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess I'm not that surprised. Like, if Megan's going to do something, like, she's going to do it. She's definitely like an Aquarius Venus. So she's going to just do whatever like feels right for her in that moment. And if it's not conventional, that's great.
Yeah, it's just wild. And the one other thing that we have to talk about is we get some Sean inventions in terms of wedding favors.
Oh, I loved this. To get like a Sean invention back was like such a gift. So
we had three options.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Rubber bands, which are condoms that when you rip them open, they play like the wedding march song.
I mean, absolutely genius. I say 10 out of 10. I think that is like,
I think the name is better than the item itself.
No, I think the item is great. I just don't think that it's the right favor for Tracy and Elena. Yes. However, I do think it's the right favor for Megan and Sean. So
sure. I can see that. Like, yep.
Know your audience, but that is a great invention. I've never even heard of such a thing.
Yeah. Next we had fortune cookies. He was doing like,
well, this was just a gift. This wasn't like a favor.
I thought those were favors.
Oh, were they supposed to be favors?
Because okay. The other option was a CD of the bride and groom's like favorite songs.
Basically, oh, you're right. CD. It's a favor. I wasn't sure if it was like a wedding gift, but like, you're right. So, and then the
maybe his wedding gift is providing those. Like, it could be a both, right? That he's handling the favors for
him. So the fortune cookie, I mean, like, people do this actually. Like, this is like actually thing, yeah. a wedding favor. It's yep. not very original cookie favors. And what was the, he was like, I was fortunate enough to go to to Tracy and Elena's wedding. Yeah,
honestly, I think it's kind of a dud. I love it, in this day, like not currently, but back in the 90s, I do think a mixed CD of like all the bride and groom's favorite like love songs or something.
Yeah, that would be good.
Is a huge hit. I think it's also like, he says they're too expensive. I feel like it can't be that expensive to like burn a bunch of CDs if you're doing it yourself.
I was an amateur CD burner.
Yeah, you and LimeWire connected.
Me and LimeWire. Okay, so this is Besties. What this is what I did back in the day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or it was Napster. I go to the dark web. I go to the Napster. I request all of my favorite songs. We got mm-hmm. some Backstreet Boys in there. We get some Christina Aguilera, some Mandy Moore. We get fucking Sync. We don't have them. We don't have them. We have some O-Town. And then we download all these songs. And then we get a CD from my stack of CDs that are blank.
Yeah.
You take it out. You put it in the system. You hit burn or whatever. It burns it on. And then the art process. Because I had this like label, CD label maker. Then you make the doodads. You make your clip art. And then there's like this thing. And you like put it on and then you like twist it and the giant sticker is on the CD and then you have a CD case. And now you are a mixologist, but not for drinks, only for beats. And that is how I live.
Incredible.
I spent a lot of time doing that actually. And I wonder if I have any of my greatest hits anywhere, any of my CDs. I don't think so. They're long gone. But I was truly a talent at this.
Yeah, I think this is like a hit again, especially in this day and age, in the 90s. I think this is the move. He does end up going with like the fortune cookies. Mm-hmm. But I do think the condoms would be a hit with a certain audience. I don't think this is the audience.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can totally get custom fortune cookies today. Etsy.
Oh, certainly. People get custom M&Ms. They get all kinds of shit.
I've gotten custom M&Ms before. That is true. Yeah. Exactly. I can do 50 fortune cookies custom for $37.45.
There you go.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. Yeah.
It's not a terrible
I think if you're doing it like themed, like what if you served like Chinese food? Like, I think if there was like a theme that it made sense with, then I could get down with it.
Yeah, sure.
Anything else about this episode that we've missed? Truly some unhinged behavior.
I don't think so. Like, I thought that was a really fun episode. Like, I do think that, like, we are living in Crazy Town, but I don't mind living in Crazy Town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm the president of Crazy Town.
Incredible. Should we give out our point this episode?
I mean, it's the only option for me is Ben. Ben was doing some
real
critical thinking this episode.
It's really working hard.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our feedback. Of course, if you want to send it in, shit90spod.com, shit90spod@gmail.com. That's where you can find us. Let's hear what Temi has to say about this episode.
Hi, ladies. Finally, my interest in some of these languages is paying off. I looked up Hickey in French. It's sousson, based on the verb sousser, which means to suck. Similarly, in Italian, it's succhiato. In German, it is Knutschfleck, which they use to mean as love bite. So your favorite therapist said you want to be with Ben, but you also want to be with Noel. I mean, personally, I think Noel would eventually compromise for the throuple, but not Ben. The things that part of you wants, but your prefrontal cortex wouldn't allow, is what I'm getting at. Like in Will Smith, he wrote a memoir, and in the book, he said that in a therapy session that if he didn't have restrictions, he would like to have a harem, including the ballet dancer Misty Copeland. This remembrance of mine that I just remembered, it was good because she's gorgeous and those legs are crazy. But you know how they have those actor musician panels on YouTube? Presented like by places like the Hollywood Reporter. My dream panel, it would have Alison Brie, Taylor Tomlinson, Amy Poehler, and Norah Jones. Not a harem. Oh. I just want to hear what they have to say. You could assemble a panel of celebrities to talk to, interview. Who would be in your panel?
Oh, interesting.
And then did you guys hear about the conflict between Daniel Fishel and then the
yes we did
actress who came on the Rachel. Show of the
Maitland
Boy Meets World podcast. Mm-hmm. Thanks, bye.
Yes, we did hear about the controversy.
Yeah, I've heard about that. That beef has been going on for years, and it's so funny that it finally came to a head. And Maitland, I mean, like, Maitland is like such trash, but obviously we're on Daniel Fishel's side. That's my official stance. I don't know about you, Jessica, but
I don't know that I have skin in the game, really.
Skin in the game.
But in terms of a celebrity panel of people we'd want to, I presume, like, interview.
It's our own, because I think that, like, it's our, I don't think that we have five people that would align. I'm working on my list, and, like, I think without saying who those people are, like, I really do not think that those people would align at all.
With me?
Or with each other? Like, my five people? Yeah. I'm writing it now. And this is, like, just, like, off the top of my head. Yes. So I'm not fully there yet.
Yes.
So I'm very much stalling to find the people that I want to talk to. Okay. Do you have five yet?
I don't have five.
Okay. How about we skip to our next piece of feedback? And then we can, like, finish our list so that we can really, really consider.
Yeah. Okay. So let's hear what DBK has to say.
What up, though, ladies? My best friend's wedding. Okay. I came into this episode thinking we should give the point to Noel. And I'm still kind of leaning there.
Oh, my God.
Maybe Richard steals the point because it's so funny that he calls Noel out and then puts in all the just high quality ridiculous stuff from Richard this episode. But yeah, I'm not going to say this very often, but Felicity sucks this episode. I mean, Like, what's she doing to Noel? Like, just shitting all over Noel this episode. Like, I hate it. I know you're probably thinking, like, oh, but what about Ben? Like, what about Ben? Who cares? Like, Ben fucked Janet in that hotel room. You're not telling me anything. I don't care what Ben says. Why are you getting a hotel room to stay with the girl? And Ben cut a girl off? Get out of here. Sure, Jan. Okay. And then, Sean and Megan end up married by the end of the episode. Good stuff all around. It's gonna be interesting to see who gets the point this week. Felicity, you gotta look in that drawer. Anyways, till next week, ladies. Peace.
There was no.
Oh yeah. Also, Temi. We could call the ceasefire off. It's season 4. You can make fun of me this season at some point if you'd like. Anyways, till next week, ladies. Peace.
How cute.
So kind.
Love that for you both.
Yeah.
There was zero chance I was ever giving Noel a point this episode. Yeah, not probably, a chance.
Probably not. All right. I have like 4.
I also have 4.
Solid ones.
I'm so scared to lock in a fifth because then I'm cutting people out, you know? Like, maybe I'll leave it at 4 and really
be like a deado. Can we include a dead?
Oh, sure. We can include someone who's dead. Why not?
Okay. All right. Then I have my 5 then.
Okay. I still only have 4, but I reserve the right to like think about this because we haven't had much time to think about this question.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead first.
Obama, of course. Okay. I think that Obama's cool and he has great music taste and also he's like intelligent.
Sure.
And I haven't felt safe in the world since he left office. I think that was the last time I felt good about being okay. Earth. Beyonce, of course.
Sure.
Just because, she, once again, good music, but also she's so business-minded. And I think that it's just like fascinating for her to, I hate it when people say like, oh, she's overrated. It's like, how could she possibly be overrated when like she's the first Black woman to be at the status really that she's at and be consistently in this like career for all this time. Like she's just like a genius. So I hate it when people are like, she's overrated. She's not overrated. Taylor Swift, of course, like I love her music. And the only thing, like, you know how people are always like, oh, if you meet a celebrity, like, do you want a picture? Do you want an autograph? Like, what would you say? Like, the only thing that I would want to say to Taylor Swift is like, there's this one particular song that literally, and I'm not even being hyperbolic, like changed my life. And I just want to thank her for that. And that's all I want. Mm-hmm. Ariana Grande, love her music as well. Been a fan of Ariana's music for a really long time, and Eternal Sunshine, her latest album, kind of the same thing. Like, I really think that it's brilliant work, and it really like helped me in the time of my life that I was going through, and I want to like thank her for that. And also, like, she's just having a year, right? Like, you know, with the Wicked stuff. I just like, if I had to like meet somebody, I just like would want to meet her. And then my dead person is Robin Williams, because like he was like my like teen, like I like in my little kid mind I was like, this is like my dad, and when my dad's
it's not a good around, option
and yeah. Like so funny, and like once again I just want to like show my like appreciation for him, to be like, you brought like so many people's lives, but also like, you know, I don't know, just like would love to hear him think about like how I wish like he knew like how much joy he brought to like literally every single person in the world. Mm-hmm. And like how he was able to do that while feeling really a lot of turmoil within himself. Mm-hmm. Which I also kind of find a bit relatable, at least in my younger years. So mm-hmm. That's my 5. That's my panel. Do we have any overlap at all?
No, of course not.
Okay.
With that list, there was no chance. Like, to be frank, I don't even have a singer on my list.
Wow. Because you know what it is? Like, I really do think that I couldn't think of any actors or like people in TV that I wanted to like meet. I like really could not think of any. And I think it's really because I'm such like, I love music. Like, I love, especially the music that I like to listen to. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't, I was trying to think of an actor, and that's how I landed on Robin Williams, because it was like that person is like probably, and maybe Tom Hanks. I don't know. All right, go forward.
Okay. So, and I feel like maybe I'll try to set this list more in stone for next podcast. But these are my gut picks that I maintain the right to shift around.
Sure.
Starting off the list, we have one of my favorite actors and someone who I think is just absolutely hysterical. So I think he'd be very fun to interview. That is Paul Rudd. I mm-hmm. adore Paul Rudd. I feel like I've mentioned it on the podcast plenty of times. I find mm-hmm. him to be so funny and sweet and charming.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he also seems like a good person. So I would just be interested to get to chat with him.
Yeah.
Next person on my list is also an actor, someone who kind of, it's interesting. I feel like prior to the last couple of years, you would say like, okay, she's mostly like someone who'd be a nostalgia pick. But now I think it's also more of a current thing, which is Christina Ricci.
Mm-hmm.
I feel personally like her character in Now and Then like spoke so much to me when I was a kid, and also still now like resonates with me. And she is also on Yellow Jackets, like one of my absolute favorite shows. And I just would want to pick her brain about like, what was it like being like a child actor? Like, what was it like in the 90s? Like, how do you feel about doing Yellow Jackets now? Like, I feel like I'd have a lot of questions for her.
Yeah.
Especially, especially knowing that like she tends to find herself in some comedic roles, but I know she doesn't really consider herself like that funny, you know? I find that really interesting. My next pick is actually not even anybody famous, because once you said, can we pick someone who's dead? I thought, and I can't remember if this is supposed to be celebrities, but it doesn't matter now because I already did it.
It doesn't matter now.
Someone I'd want to interview, someone I'd want to speak to and get to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, who is someone who's like dead that I haven't gotten the chance to that I'd want to? And I picked my mom's mom. My grandmother on my mom's side died before I was born.
Okay.
And I've always felt like I would connect with her.
Can you tell me like a little bit about her? Like what?
So I don't. Yeah. So what I know is that like, first of all, she's very crafty, which I feel like her name was Catherine.
Okay.
And she's very crafty. And so I feel like we could have connected on that. Like, I feel like she could have taught me like how to sew, how to do all this other stuff that I always wanted to do. And my mom very much did not get that gene. Like she's doesn't have like a more creative mind in that way. And I know she was like very good at cooking. I know she was very tough as well, which I feel like is like resilience, you know, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot I could have learned from her.
Did she live in like, was born in America or was she from?
Yes. No, okay. Her parents, I think, immigrated, or maybe her grandparents immigrated. So a couple years removed.
From where? Like,
like Ireland and Germany area. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then next on my list, I have someone. I had to pick someone from Succession because you know I love Succession.
Yeah,
I just need the dirty details. And I thought, who on the cast would I most want to talk to? And I had a really tough time here. And I ended up going with the person who I feel like has the most personality and also connects to something else I'm interested in. So it's kind of a two for one, if you will. I picked Kieran Culkin. Because Kieran Culkin both is like really funny and he kind of has no filter. So I feel like he'd have a really fun interview, but also his brother's Macaulay Culkin, which like could lead into some Home Alone stuff, which is interesting.
And you get like the in with Brenda Song. So
exactly. Like there's so many through lines with Kieran Culkin. So I picked him. Plus he's like he's spicy right now. Like he has a lot going on. He just won a fucking Oscar, Tony. Mm-hmm. No, Oscar. Yeah. He won an Oscar. Mm-hmm. I don't know the difference between all these awards.
Yes, you do.
I do. He has an Emmy and he has an Oscar.
Okay. Oscar is what?
Movies.
Emmys are what?
Television. I know that.
Tonys are what?
That's theater. And then Grammy is music.
Yeah. And then what's Golden Globes?
Truly, I have no idea.
Make a guess. Golden Globes.
Is it TV?
TV and movies.
Oh, it's both. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the last person in this spot is really, people have shuffled in and out of this spot.
I feel like you're on six, but pop off.
No, this is my fifth. Paul Rudd, Kieran Culkin, Christina Ricci, my grandmother, and then this is my fifth.
Okay. What's number five?
Number five, I put Matthew Perry. And the reason I put Matthew Perry, Friends had a very big impact on my life. I absolutely adore that show as my comfort show. It is a show that connects me very deeply with my family. I've talked a lot about it. Matthew Perry, I picked him specifically from the cast because I always really adored Chandler. And I feel like Matthew Perry is a very deep soul and someone who I think he's very unintentionally funny. Like, he's someone who like wouldn't necessarily say he's the funniest guy ever, but like, he can't help it. He's very funny.
Yeah.
And I just want to pick his brain, and his death really affected me. And so, yeah, he was kind of my last pick, but again, like, I reserve the right to shuffle some things around, but that was off the top of my head. That's my list.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good list. Good question, Temmie. Thank you.
Yes. Love that question, Temmie. And we also got an email from Jamie, of course. Jamie says, so Felicity and Noel end up having sex on the roof. That was certainly a choice. I'm curious if you ladies feel like this was something in character, Felicity. I'm sort of on the fence about it. While Felicity certainly can be impulsive, she's also very in her head about things. And I don't know if I see her letting it go this far, perhaps a heavy makeout, but sex. What do you think, Sarah?
I think kind of based off of our discussions in the beginning of the podcast, where I think that she is purposely rejecting her early younger self. And like, I think that she is actively working against what she would do. I think it does. Like, I think that she's like rejecting her original interests in life. She's rejecting being like tied down to a specific plan. I think that even the fact that like he was literally her crush in high school, like, I think that she is subconsciously sabotaging everything in her life that like used to be what like Felicity Porter like 1.0 was. So I think it does fit within her character. I think that if she made this decision day one of freshman year, I would say that this would be out of character. But I think that like the person that she's evolved to be and the place that she is mentally right now, I do think fits within her character.
I agree, because I think when you look at her history, like our guy Eli, like those sorts of things, she has been impulsive about. I think Felicity is very methodical when it comes to what she wants to do with her future. But when it comes to her relationships, I do think she's more impulsive. So I agree. Like, I think Sarah and I were both a little shocked. It was all the way. It wasn't just like making out or again, like some handies and stuff. But like, yeah, I think it does kind of fit. Jamie continues, according to Pavone, Felicity wants to be with both Ben and Noel. And again, I'm not sure I buy this. While I see them become very close over the summer, I would even say inappropriately close, considering she has a boyfriend. Yeah. I never saw any longing or sexual tension between them. It just seemed very codependent. Even their kiss on the roof seemed like it was more coming from a place of escapism than actual desire. Felicity doesn't seem happy that it happened, at least not to me. While I get she feels guilt over it happening, it is possible to feel multiple things, including conflicting things. All I saw from Felicity was guilt and confusion on how she could let it happen. At no point did I feel she wanted to be with Noel. She doesn't even seem concerned about what Ben might do to Noel if he finds out. Let's not forget, last time Ben thought Felicity slept with someone, Ben sent him to the hospital with a concussion.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I agree with this. Like, I think the only point in time where it feels like her cheating and her confusion has anything to do with Noel is when she says, I don't want to forget it. But it all feels like it stems from the lack of knowing what she's going to do with her life and how she connects with Noel on that.
Which is sad for Noel, because I think that like he does want to be with her.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lastly, how do you feel about Sean and Megan hijacking the wedding? I thought it was a little tacky, if I'm being honest. Yeah. I'm a little over Megan and Sean and their fight of the weeks. No way do I think they're ready for marriage.
It was tacky. At first, when they asked if like they could do it, I was like, that was so cringe when they went right to Elena. Yes. So cringy. And I thought that, and like the fact that Elena was like, yes, of course. But I was like, I don't know. Like, it feels so gross. But no, like, they're not ready for marriage. Like, I don't know. At what point of your marriage did you realize that you were married? Like, you're in it, right? Like, you,
yeah.
Like, basically, you are financially, emotionally, like, physically stuck. I don't want to say stuck, but aligned with
you're tied person. To this person.
Tied to this person.
Yeah.
Like, if Will loses his job, that like directly mm-hmm. affects you. Like, if he goes to prison, which he would never do, but that directly affects you. Like, it really is so different from even committed dating for years and years and years, because like if you're dating, you can just leave, like, right? Like, you cannot do so. And I think that is something that they're going to realize, that it's not just a piece of paper. Like, I know, like, that's kind of like what people say, like, marriage is just a piece of paper, it doesn't matter. But like, the legal implications that it does mean, and like the literal ties and connection you are with another human being, like, if you sit here and think about it, like, it's kind of wild. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's interesting because getting married didn't feel like it changed anything about our relationship.
But it does, like,
well, legally. No, I'm not saying everything you've said is true in terms of legal ramifications, financial ramifications. All of those things are very true from an emotional standpoint and from a like day to day standpoint. Really not much changed about our relationship, like, especially because leading up to the wedding, at a certain point, we were like, we're joining all our money together, because why are we waiting until we get married to do it when we're like engaged and on our way there? We might as well do it. So like, all of those things, I guess, we did before we got married anyway. Like, it never really, I don't know what it is. Like, and maybe, again, this is just our perspective. Like, it could be different for different couples, but I always felt like our relationship was very much the same regardless of whether or not we had that piece of paper saying we were married. Obviously there are legal implications and all of those things, but from a relationship standpoint, I didn't feel any differently after we got married. I still felt like I'd been treating him as if he was my partner anyway. That didn't change just because we now had extra rings, you know.
I think that is absolutely true. And I do think for my marriage, like, I agree with you, like, it didn't affect the emotional connection. It's just that, like, I don't know, like, I think that, not that I want to, but sometimes, like, I'm like, you know, just to disappear into the ether. I cannot disappear into the ether. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes any sense. I think
you're right. You can't just get up and leave anymore. There, like, and obviously anyone who may have like commitment issues or be concerned or whatever, like, that is the big thing for them, probably.
I think that it also like ties into the fact that like I was in a committed relationship for so long.
Yeah.
And like especially because it didn't feel right, at the back of my head was mm-hmm. like, well, if I needed to, I could always leave, right? Like, you know, and I think like I got into that like mindset. I'm just saying that like this is, I think like this, I wonder, and I think that like will Megan and Sean realize that this was not just like a funny thing to do on a Saturday morning?
I think they'll be fine. Like, I don't think the show's gonna split them up. So I think they'll be okay. But I do think this is like, it's a lot. Like, making that decision of getting married on a whim, and if you haven't already had the discussion about getting married, right? Like, it's different to be, it's different than what Megan and Sean are doing, to be like, yeah, we want to get married someday. Like, we already have a plan to do it. and then just, okay, well, we're going to get married today, I guess. Like, that's different than being like, there's a wedding. They need people to get married. Let's do it. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And then, like, once again, like, where did Tracy go after all of this?
Yeah, who's telling his family?
Well, his family was right there.
I mean, but it's weird that he's not there to be like, and, hey, fam, not getting married.
Yeah. And, like, I guess I would assume that maybe Elena's family was the one that stayed behind, because that would be absolutely wild if Tracy wasn't even at Megan and Sean's wedding, but they stayed for... I don't know. I'm, like, so curious, and there's, like, no explanation. And then does this mean that we're never going to see Tracy again? That's, like, kind of annoying and stupid. Like, I really think that, like, he fizzled out at the end.
Yes, certainly. Why? It makes no sense. I feel like we're going to see him again, because it makes no sense to, like, have him in for two episodes and then have him leave like he's Julie. Like, that's not the situation here. But you know?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
God, I don't know. So yeah, who the heck knows, but it is some crazy shit that's going on.
There's a golden retriever outside.
Stop. Is it cute?
It was pretty good looking, even though I don't really like those golden retriever dogs. Mm-hmm. I don't really like them, but
okay. Do you want to know what I feel like? It's very obvious what next episode is going to be about once you hear the name. Are you ready? Well, okay,
tell me.
Season 4, episode 3, Your Money or Your Wife.
Does Megan have it? Oh, Megan.
No,
does-
Natalie's coming back.
Oh.
Remember the whole money arrangement?
Yes.
So something like that's happening.
Okay.
So that'll be exciting. I mean, I think that was something we predicted, right? That, like, I think I predicted Natalie would come back and they'd get divorced very quickly. So I guess we'll see.
Your money or your wife.
Yeah. So that'll be next week. So don't forget to get your feedback in. Shit90sPod everywhere you can find us. Anything else you want to plug or tell the people about, Sarah?
Nope.
Okay, great. I'm here. I'm around. I'm talking Yellow Jackets. I mentioned Yellow Jackets, so I might as well plug that podcast.
Yeah.
Go check it out. If you like Yellow Jackets, go listen to the podcast over on We Know Scripted TV. Grace and I talk every week about the latest Yellow Jackets episode and season 3. My God, it's lit. My hottest take that I've had, Sarah, is that season 3 of Yellow Jackets is better than season 2 of Severance.
Oh, wow. That what you like. I mean, like, basically that's like Asian pears are better than like Bartlett's. Like, I don't know. Sure.
I don't know what you're talking about, but sure.
Exactly. I don't know what you're talking about.
There you go. All right. Well, we will be back next week with season 4, episode 3 of Felicity. Until then, everyone, have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.